Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're going to finish a series today called The Place Called This. And the idea behind this series is there's a place called here. That's where you're at now. And then there's a place called there, but we're going through something called this. And I think we could all look at our world and go, who'd have known when 2020 flipped the calendar and we started the brand new year that we would have stay-at-home orders, we'd have limited gatherings, that we'd shut down bars, we'd shut down schools, we'd do all these, have to rethink how to do education. Who'd have known that we're here, we'd have to go through this to get to there. And so I want to look at a text today in Mark, and there's a story I've unpacked the last couple of weeks and encourage you to find our podcast if you haven't viewed that. And next week, though, I'm going to give you a little precursor. Next week, we're going to launch a new series called Miracles. And next week, I'm so excited. I'm going to share a story in the Bible with you called Solve My Problems, But Save My Pigs. And I'm excited about that. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about when Jesus turned water into wine and how Jesus can make any party a whole lot better. And I'm going to look at Mark chapter 4. Let's take a look at this today as we study together. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side. They're here, but let's go over there. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Jesus is practicing social distancing here. He left the crowd behind. He's got 13 people in the boat because there's 12 disciples in him, so he didn't quite get the governor's ordinance down here. But he left the crowd behind, although other boats followed. There's other people around him. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And it says Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Now I want to pause here. If you look this up in the original language, the disciples really were being rude. This was like a rude, kind of a pompous, proud, arrogant way of basically saying, don't you stink and care if we die? I mean, come on. How could you sleep during our storm? And I wonder how many of us, maybe there's a little bit of an attitude creeping up in our hearts and our spirit right now about, you know, if God's really God, and why is this happening? Why is the economy shut down? Why? I don't know, but they kind of had an attitude. Teacher, don't you care? We're gonna drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And that word rebuke is the same word used in Mark chapter 1 when he rebukes the demon from a man. It's the same word. He literally, he spoke and the spirit behind the storm, the animation behind the waves, he said, there's an eviction, there's out. And then it says, and he said, or he spoke to the waves, silence, be still. And I love this word, suddenly, the wind stopped. And there was a great calm. And I want to stop here. The government might shut bars down and shut schools down and limit other things like that. My God, shut the waves down. He has power over that. And the disciples are in the boat. And let's look what it says. Then they asked him. He asked him, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? In other words, do you still not understand who I am? You're rude to me. I was asleep because I'm not affected by the things that affects you. Are you still afraid? You have no faith. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. That's the first what we call Christological question in the New Testament. Who's this man the winds and the waves obey? Who is this person? I want to unpack this story, but again, I want to talk about the big idea behind this message is that there's a place called here where we're at. There's a place called there, but the only way to get from here to there is to go through a place called this. I don't know what your this is today. It could be financial struggles. It could be health challenges. It could be relational handicaps. It could be hangups in relationships. It could be the complexity of the current relational equilibrium. In other words, things are off balance for you when it comes to relationships. Maybe your marriage. Maybe your children. Maybe your in-laws or outlaws or here. But the only way, friends, to get from here to there is to walk through this. Walk through your current situation. Maybe you feel like you have limited emotional stability and everything's rocking right now. Or maybe it's the uncertainty of the economy and you're a businessman or businesswoman. You're going, I need to make some decisions, but you don't even know if you have the cognitive ability or peace of mind to make good decisions. You don't know who to call or who to ask. I don't know. Maybe the fear of the COVID-19's got you paralyzed to even move, and you feel like you can I even go home and leave my house and go shop? I don't know your situation, but I know this: to get from here to there, we have to walk through this. Now we're all in this together, this whole global pandemic. But you have a personal this you're walking through. Your this is what you're walking through, the storm you're going through, the situation you're navigating. That's the place called this. Now, in this series, we've talked about, and again, there's podcasts to go back and listen, watch if you want, but we've been talking about the place called this, and we talked about to get from here to there, you have to go through this. There's no skipping this to get to there. See, sometimes we want to skip where we're at. I'm convinced it's not what happens to us, it's what happens in us that's important. So what is this doing for you right now? We have to get through this. You have to get through this. And secondly, we talked about the power of the right float mates. We talked about relationships. We talked about friendships. We talked about, do your float mates help you float, or do you have sink mates on your boat? Talked about the power of relationships. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Do you have the right relationships in your life? And today we're gonna talk about the who that is above all of this. The who that is above all of this. I'm excited about today. I feel like today is gonna be, in this message series, maybe my favorite part. The who that's above all this. And in Mark it says this. It says, and when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves and spoke and said, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the disciples said, what? Who is this man? They asked him, even the winds and the wind. In other words, the this obeys him. He's the who that's above all this. He's the who that's above your financial situation. He's the who that is way beyond your relational capacities right now. He's the who. And I want to unpack that today. I want to pop the lid off like a can of Pringles. And once I pop it, I can't stop it today. I'm excited about that. I want to share four truths concerning the who that's above all of this. Number one, he is the one who was with you before all your this. He was the one before. He was with you before. He's with his disciples in that story. He's with his disciples. In fact, it says this. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat, started out leaving the crowds behind. In other words, he was with them before the storm started. How many of you want to know he's with you? Christmas. How many enjoy singing, the song about Emmanuel, God with us? He's with us. Emmanuel. He's the one that's with us. He's with us before your storm. Sometimes we forget how much we need him before the storm. It's when we hit the storm, we wonder, is he with us? But the Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Bible says, goes on in John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh and he pitched his tent among us. He lived with, think about that for a moment. The eternal God is with you. He's always been there. He was with you before you were born. He knit you together in your mother's womb. God was with you before the storm. He's always been there. Maybe you're watching today and you're viewing online because you're like, man, maybe God's, and I've never darkened the door of the church, but no one knows I'm at church today because I'm watching online. I don't know your story, but let me tell you something. God was with you before COVID-19. He was there. He'll always be there. And secondly, here's another truth. He's the one who is with you during all of this. The disciples were wondering they thought he was asleep. They assumed because he was asleep, he's not with them. But let me just say something. In this story, he is with them. I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, the Message translation. It says, be relaxed with what you have. Chill out, in other words. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down. I'll never walk off and leave you. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? The NIV says he'll never leave you or never forsake you. Look at me right now. God can't leave you. He was with you before the storm. He's with you during the storm. Relax. You might say, well, if God's real, why is this happening? Bad things happen to good people. It's called the nature of sin. Sin's nature is to kill. God's nature is to come alongside and help us navigate the sinful culture and climate and world we're in so we can have an eternal bliss with him someday called heaven. He's with us during this storm. In fact, the Bible says that in John 14 that he would ask the Father, and the Father will give us, what's it say? He'll give you another, an advocate who will never leave you. Talking about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible goes on and says he's your comforter. Now, I don't know about you. When I hear the word comforter, I think of that special bedspread my mom had. You know, I don't know if your grandparents or your parents have had special bedspreads and special towels that were just for looks. You know, I'd go to my grandma's house. There were certain towels I couldn't use because they were just there for looks. Like, why would you have a towel in a bathroom you couldn't use? So I'd always use those towels. I always enjoy going to people's houses and using the towels that are hung up, even though I know they're probably for show. But the Holy Spirit's someone God actually wants us to have a relationship. He'll be with us during our storm. In fact, Isaiah says this. And Isaiah, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. That's a prophetic word from Isaiah that says, when you pass through this, I'll be with you. He's with you during your storm. He's with you for your marriage crisis right now. He's with you through your financial downturn right now. He's the omnipresent God. That's a Latin word, omnipresent. Omni is the word all, and present means here. God's the all here God. Look at me in the eyes right now. God is here for you during your this. He's all here. He's not partly here and partly there. God's all here. In fact, see if you've heard me say this before, God's here and God's there, because there is here for a God who can be here and there. He was here, he's there. And he's with you during your this. That's why David said, God is my ever-present help in time of need. That's why David said, if I go to the mountains, he's there. If I go to the depths of the ocean, he's there. God is everywhere. The Bible, David said, where can I go to flee from your presence? You can't flee from God's presence because God's all here. He's with you right now. The third principle, Third truth about the God who's above all this is number three, he's not losing any sleep during your this. I love this story. It says Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're gonna drown?" Here's the deal. Jesus was sleeping through their storm. Not because he wasn't aware of their storm. It's because he doesn't lose sleep during your this, because it's not what happens to you that's important. It's what happens in you. You might not feel like he's aware, but friends, just because you don't think he's aware does not mean he's not there. I want you to think about something for a second. Could it be that God appears asleep to you because maybe you still run your spiritual life off of feelings and not based off the fact that the omnipresent God will never leave you and never forsake you, whether you feel like he's aware of what you're going through or not? See, some of us, I think, we live on feelings. We make too many decisions based upon feelings, not based upon facts, not based upon reality. But friends, this book says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The disciples had heard Jesus do, they'd seen Jesus cast demons out of people. They'd seen him do some miracles. They'd heard his teaching. And then they get in the storm and they think, "Don't you care if we drown?" And God's there. Whatever you're walking through right now, whatever your situation is, he's not rattled by what rattles you. He's not caught off kilter by what rocks your boat. He's the who that's above all this. And he's not losing sleep during your this because God doesn't need to sleep. He's not human. He's beyond humanity. In fact, I was thinking about this. My daughter Brady, I have five daughters, and I'll owe my daughter money now, because every time I share a story about my daughters, I have to pay them. And so Brady, when she was 5 years old, I was traveling as an evangelist, and I remember coming home one day, and my daughter says, "Dad, I want you to watch something real cool." It's okay. And so she'd poured some chocolate, some Cocoa Pebbles into a bowl, and so she's eating her Cocoa Pebbles, and she's done, and she says, "Dad, watch." I said, "What?" Okay, so she picks up her Cocoa Pebbles, and she drinks the bowl. She sets it down. She goes, "Did you just see what happened?" I said, "You drank some milk. Good job. We tell you not to throw the milk away. You're supposed to drink it if it's in your cereal bowl." And some of you do that same rule in house. You're supposed to throw the milk carton away if it's empty, not put it back into the refrigerator, right? She says, "No, Dad, you got to watch." I said, "Okay." So she says, "Now, Dad, watch." And so she drank some more milk. She said, "Dad, did you see what happened, Daddy?" I said, "No, you drank milk." She goes, "No, Dad." She said, "Let me give you a hint." And she's Hispanic. She gets these big Mexican eyes open up, and she goes, "No, Daddy. Daddy, you got to watch." She says, "Daddy, where does Jesus live?" I says, "Well, he lives in heaven." She goes, "He also lives right here, my heart." And she's got her big brown eyes and her cute little smile. She goes, "Daddy, watch." And so I said, "Okay." And so she picks up the bowl. She drinks it again. She sets it down, and she goes, and she starts laughing. I go, "What?" She goes, "Did you just see what happened?" I said, "Yeah, three times a charm. You drank milk." She goes, "No, Daddy. Let me break it down for you." She said, "If Jesus lives in my heart and I just drank milk, Jesus just got wet." I remember sitting there thinking, what a great theological principle, that Jesus is so close. Jesus is aware of what's going on. Whether you know it or not, Jesus just got wet in the boat. He's not unaware of what's going on. He's intimately aware of what's going on in your situation. And the fourth principle I want to walk through here is he's the one who is above all of your this. He's the one that's above all. Who is this the winds and the waves obey? I love what it says in the passage. It says he woke up and they rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silent, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked the disciples, why are you so afraid? And they ask, who is this the winds and the waves obey? And I want to pause here. Who's this that's above all you're this? Let's unpack that for a second. He's the one that took hydrogen atoms and oxygen atoms and combined them two to one and created water and spoke them into existence. He's the one that opened the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky and in Genesis flooded the earth. He's the one in Exodus that turned water into blood when Moses tapped it with a stick. He's the one that splits the Red Sea in Exodus so that all the Israelites could walk through on dry ground. He's that type of God that has power over the molecular of water. He's the God who caused water to come from a rock when Moses hit the rock. He's the one in Joshua that split the Jordan River so Joshua and the Israelites who'd marched around in circles for 40 years could head toward their promised land and battle Jericho. He's the God in 2 Kings who had the prophet tell Naaman to go dip himself in the Jordan River seven times and his leprosy was gone. He's that God who can take water and make it a healing agent if he desires to. He can harness the chemicals. God commands a storm in the book of Jonah. God calms water in Mark chapter 4. But he actually causes a great storm in Jonah, commands the storm and commandeers a whale to come and snatch up a snack called Jonah. And he's baptized in water in the Gospels. In John 2, he turns water into wine. We're going to talk about that. God can transform something in an instant. He asks a blind man to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam, and he causes a synapsis and to connect with the optical muscles or whatever it's called in this man's eyes and connect the brain to his eyes, and the blind man could see again. That's the God that's above all this. He calmed the water. Later in the Gospels, he walked on the water. Who's this? He's above all this. Friends, look at me. God is above all you're this. He created all of this. He has power over all this. He can sustain you through all of this. If coronavirus can shut down bars and shut down schools, my God has the power no one else has to shut things down. Man can't shut down. That's the God I serve. So we don't get to choose whether the sea we travel on is calm or stormy, but we do get to choose where to turn our eyes and put our attention on. We can choose to be overwhelmed by the power of the storm and the power of your this, or you can choose to be overwhelmed by the power of the Almighty God. And that's why Jesus asked the disciples, why do you have so little faith? Oh, ye of little faith. I want to close with three ways today that we can find faith in our this. Find faith in our difficult circumstances. In Philippians chapter 4, it says this in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about this. Three ways to increase our faith. I think the disciples needed, this is the way the disciples could increase their faith. This is the way you could increase your faith right now, and you're this. Number one, praise. And I want to notice that praise, 5/6 of the word praise is raise. What are you raising your eyes to right now? Are you looking at CNN or Fox News or the New York Times and cross-referencing it with or do you praise him for who he is? In verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What's he saying? He's saying, begin to thank God for who he is. Praising God is bringing up God's batting average, if I could say it that way. When you praise him, you're raising your sight to see who God is. That's why David said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's why David in Psalms 42, he says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. And it goes on, it says, and put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. Sometimes when you're discouraged, you have to talk back to yourself and force yourself to thank God and find the good. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, in other words, bring up God's batting average. If every time he steps to the plate, he hits a home run, you got to remember that. When's the last time you needed him and he stepped up? You go, oh man. But the difficulty is when we get in difficult times, we forget how good God is. David said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. What are the works of God? Great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise. Praise brings up his batting average. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. If you're walking through a difficult this right now, begin to thank God, rejoice him, praise him, lift your eyes up to the hills, for that's where your help comes from. Secondly, we pray. Paul goes on, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's praise, then it's pray. That's why on the screen you keep seeing, if you have a prayer request, text it in. We have over 200 people a part of our prayer team here at True North Church. When you text your prayer need in, it doesn't stay in some little inbox over here. It goes out to a couple hundred people who pray for your needs on a daily basis. Because we believe prayer moves the hand that moves. But why do you bring up God's batting average first? Because when you know he can do it, then you pray with every prayer and petition. Why? Because you're praying with confidence that the man who calms the winds and the waves is the man who can hear your prayer. And thirdly, ponder. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything's excellent or praise, think about such things. Friends, when you're in a storm, don't ponder about how bad it is. Start pondering about the good things God has done. Get your chin off your chest. God is the one that's above all your this. You got to remind yourself of that. Why so downcast? Oh, my soul. Friends, you can't trust your emotions. Your emotions lie to you. Your heart, which is the seat of your emotions, is the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked. Deceit means it'll lie to you. Your feelings will lie. Some of what you're walking through right now is bad, but God's good. God can flip it. God can leverage it. So pray, and ponder. For those of you that are watching online right now that don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you never darkened the door of a church, but you've been watching, maybe viewing in for the first time. Here's what we believe. I believe the Bible teaches that we have an expiration date on our lives. The Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. It's appointed once for man to die. The Bible says after that to face judgment. And so we all have an expiration in that what I call the milk carton of our lives. We're not promised tomorrow. So if you're watching right now and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I want to talk to you about that, because here's what I know. There was a day you didn't exist, but there'll never be a day now that you don't exist. You're an eternal being. The moment your mother and father conceived you in their womb, you became an eternal being. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's something called death and there's something called everlasting life. Now, what's that look like? The Bible says appointed once for men to die, and after that, to face judgment. There's gonna be a day we all stand before God. He's gonna ask us, how and why should I let you into my kingdom? And there's only one answer. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus. If you're watching today and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, you never asked him to forgive you of your sins. It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Admit it, we've all sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Because that's truth. And C, confess him as the Lord. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess. Confess Jesus as Lord. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Not saved from taxes, not saved from the postponement of taxes because of the COVID-19, but saved from the sin that separates you from Jesus. If you never prayed that prayer, I want to pray with you right now. Would you bow your heads where you're at? Dear Jesus, just repeat this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. But I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me today, Lord. I've made choices that separated me from you, but today I'm making a choice to ask you to forgive me. And today I confess you as the Lord of my life. Please be my Savior and my life leader in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit TrueNorthAK.org.